Is that an exercise bike in the background?
No, it is just a bike.
Oh, I see. It's not like a... It's literally just a bike leaning against a wall.
Yeah, it's not the best solution. He's bought some, like, proper hang-it-on-the-wall thing to make the bike look like art. You know, where it's like the bike's in the middle of the wall.
Mm.
But it's still a fucking bike on a wall.
I was going to say, that doesn't, I'm not feeling convinced. No.
That's all right. Can you come and listen to this and tell me I sound all right? No. Don't come. I'm isolating. I forgot. Go away. Hello. You're listening to the Doing It For The Kids podcast, where we swear a bit too much and talk a bit too fast about freelance life with kids in the mix. I'm Frankie and this is Steve. Who's eating a biscuit?
Yeah, sorry. Hello! Yes, each episode we take a question from Doing It For The Kids community, do our best to answer it ourselves, but we start each episode by looking back at the last one, taking your comments. And now the last one was about...
taking maternity leave as a freelancer. Dun, dun, dun.
Tilly Louise Kyle got in touch. Hey, Tilly. Always remember that the early newborn days are, caps lock, grueling. But there are some magic moments that will never happen again. And guess what? That email will still be sitting there next week or next month. I think working with the right people is key. I sent an email an hour after giving birth to my second saying, sorry for the delay, I just had a baby. Lols, what a weirdo. And I got an instant reply that said, I'm deleting this email. Don't email again until you've rested, settled, and are actually meant to be working. I still work with her now. At the end of the day, we are only human. It's okay to say no, to turn work down, and just shut off your emails to stare at the wall in complete silence for 2 hours.
Brilliant advice.
It's a great email.
Thank you, Tilly. Mm. Joe Shock says, I have come to fly the flag for any scenario planning or setting up with other people to happen as early as possible, because babies don't always arrive at the right time, obviously. Nobody wants to plan for prematurity, but getting your thinking straight way earlier than you expect to need it really can make a difference. I luckily set up two fantastic VA associates before I gave birth at 7 months, and equally lucky that they were both able to step in early. I think that it can be harder to plan the second time around, though, as you don't know how the eldest will react or what they will need from you.
Karina Podermo says, I think the advice in this episode applies to many scenarios, not just expecting a baby. First thing to come to mind is a house move or the always imminent half-term break. I mean, this is why we freelance, eh? The flexibility. Always imminent half-time break. That's so true.
Right.
Always.
I think we say this every year in the run-up to a school holiday. Yeah. We're like, how many weeks are they in school? And Angie McAllister says, my only addition would be to get a contract drawn up if you're handing work over to another freelancer. I had someone cover my retainer client for me when on mat leave, and even though I knew them quite well, it gave me so much peace of mind to have that bit of paper saying they wouldn't poach my client.
So you might have COVID because you went into London and hung out with somebody who then got COVID, and this is why you think you might have COVID, right?
Yes.
You dared to go out and have fun.
I went to London. Most of the time I was in my parents' house. One night I went out to see my friend's show, stayed on my other friend's sofa, and now that friend has tested positive. So for the greater good of my local rural community, yes. I've locked myself in the spare room.
So say you. It sounds like heaven.
Well, the sofa bed's pretty shit. So
yeah, but you have it to yourself. Well, honestly, I mean, this just sounds like... Does your friend really have COVID?
Yeah, right. Is it all a ruse?
Oh, guys, you'll never guess what. Going to have to lock myself away for a week.
Yeah. Also, it's just so annoying because I went on my own, got a train there, and I was so anal on the train. Wore my mask the whole time, you know, sanitizing my hands after touching anything, before eating anything. I changed my clothes when I got to my mum's house. Like, did all of that. And then the last night I stayed at my mate's and she's got the bloody virus. So, you know, what can you do, really?
Just stay home.
Right. Just stay home.
I went into London this week for a client project.
Blimey.
I've not been in for that reason since February 2020. And, Yeah, I was apprehensive, but that said, it did feel good to be somewhere that wasn't just my town. And, oh my God, so I had to get off at Hammersmith and then walk to the location where we were recording. And at first I was looking at my Google Maps on my phone, but I felt quite visible, like, come and steal my phone.
This man doesn't know where he's going. Yeah.
So then I thought, oh, hang on. I wonder whether Google will read it to me. Sure enough, it could. So I hit start directions. And so I was walking and then she'd go, turn right into this road. And then she'd go, turn left across the park. And I felt like I was in an episode of Spooks. Like I had somebody watching me from above going, yeah, turn left. In fact, there should be a button where you can just make it slightly more tense so she can go, turn right, down by the jetty. Look underneath the brick for a red hat.
Okay, so this week we have another anonymous question. So we need a fantasy name generator, detective name.
Oh, yeah, because we'd rather speak to a real person. Okay, or real sounding. So, Corey Carver.
Sounds sinister.
Lane Higgins.
It's a no from me.
Bailey Brown.
Quite like Bailey Brown.
I'll tell you what else is on the list this week. Val Abbott. That's a good name too, right?
Oh, I want Val now. Now you said Val. Can we do Val?
Okay.
My mate Val says, how do you get over a client breakup? Recently, I had a client who I felt I worked really hard on. Prioritising their work when it was dropped on me at the last minute, replying to WhatsApp at any given hour, working weekends, I know, only to receive a message to say that they felt I was too busy and had found another agency to replace me. Whilst I know that I actually went above and beyond for this client and that I really had worked my hardest, I can't help but shake the feeling of guilt that I could have done more. My question is, how do you get over a client breakup? Is it just a common thing that happens to freelancers? Tell me I'm not alone in feeling this way. Any insights? Much appreciated. Thanks.
Oh, Val. Okay, how do we get over any breakup? What's normal?
I would say a lot of crying and Kelly Clarkson on a night bus, in my experience.
Okay, well, there you are, Val. We often talk about... client relationships being...
I can't breathe for the like, first time. I'm so moving.
I can't imagine why they left you. Client relationships being like normal relationships, don't we? Like, if you're thinking, how do I get over it? Maybe what works for that? I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but one of my favourite recipes of Nigella Lawson's is for a massive chocolate fudge cake. And in the recipe, it says, serves 12... or one with a broken heart.
Yes.
There we are. We'll see you next week when...
you're recovering from a dodgy tummy.
And we're making light of this, but these are legitimate feelings, right? And genuinely, just know that it's this kind of fleeting thing. It's probably not personal. It's not you. It's them. All of these things that we say to our friends when there's a breakup do actually ring true for this situation. And the fact is that at some point you're going to end up with one or two or three even better clients who treat you the way you want to be treated.
I mean, this is definitely the right move for Val. Val might be feeling a bit shit about things at the moment, but this is for sure a good thing. I read this question and it just sounds like an abusive relationship. Val's being gaslit. She's told that her client... felt she was too busy and not available enough. She said she was on WhatsApp at any given hour and working weekends. She was giving everything to this. And she's being told she wasn't giving enough. So that says everything about your client and fuck all about you, basically. So I think you are well rid of this individual. Why is Steve making a face?
No, do you know what? Because I'm sitting there thinking, this just like, I know it sounds a bit like we're taking the piss relating this to a normal emotional breakup, but it is so true. You hear that story and it's like, why are you even with
that
person?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I almost feel like you should contact that new freelancer they've got and say...
Warning, red flag.
Do you know what they did to me? Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like an unhealthy relationship. And, you know, you really tried to make it work, put it that way, and it hasn't worked out, but it's really not your fault. There is also an element in here where I think you know, going forward with future client relationships, you can also avoid getting in that situation, probably on the DFTK bingo card, right, if anyone's got it. But boundaries, like, there's occasions when it's okay to work on something when it's dropped on you at the last minute, right? But so long as they know that that's an occasional thing, yeah, you're not always going to be there when they need you at the last minute. Replying to WhatsApp messages, that's the trouble with WhatsApp, actually, isn't it? They can see if you've
read it. I was going to say, I don't even advocate WhatsApp communication with clients at all, to be honest. But anyway.
No, but that's interesting in itself. Yeah, because actually, if you don't want to be contacted on WhatsApp, then remember for future client relationships, at the beginning of the relationship, to say how you want to be communicated with. So I actually had a new client phone me up the other day. I actually had to message Frankie. I was all of a tears. I was like, what the hell is going on? Somebody just phoned me. And she was like, how did they get your number? How have you allowed this to happen?
Boundary slipping, Steve.
No, I went back and said, look, the best way to get hold of me is by email. Because it really is. And so, yeah, you shouldn't be replying to messages all hours anyway. Not really. I don't want to tell you what to do, but not if you don't want to, okay? And if you don't want to talk to them on WhatsApp, because then they can see if you've read it, then again, move away from that as well.
We did a like similar episode about when you break up with a client because they're toxic, whereas this one is more about dealing with your feelings around being rejected. It really sounds like Val's confidence has been knocked here.
Val says, I can't help but shake the feeling of guilt.
Right. Oh.
That I could have done more. Honestly, you are too good for that client, Val. And yeah, I feel like I'm sounding insincere, but I'm really not. I bloody mean it.
Yeah.
I hate that you're feeling this way and that they've made you feel this way. Yeah, honestly, when you say how do you get over a client breakup, it is by...
getting a better one. And then you see how a positive relationship can work. And then it's like, oh, wow, this is what life should be like.
Also, I mean, I don't know what Val's business is or how many, but ideally you want to have more than one client, more than two, more than three. Now, certain things, it doesn't work to work on multiple projects at once. I get that. But by having multiple clients and not being dependent on one as well, you do also shake that feeling of dependency. And when anything ends, it's good to, it's no bad thing in self-reflecting and thinking, oh, what went wrong with that? And, you know, sometimes it is things with us where you think, oh, maybe I could have done that better or said that better, or I shouldn't have treated them that way. And sometimes it's more on them.
Yeah, I think you're right in that it's worth reflecting on what happened. And there will be things about you that come up. Because what this is saying to me is not that Val didn't do enough. Not that she didn't work bloody hard and did a good job. What this is saying to me is that Val is a people pleaser and a perfectionist and was in a relationship with somebody who abused those elements of her personality. Where really you want to be working with people who are like, no, don't worry about that today, we can do it tomorrow. Or, no, you've done a brilliant job and you don't need to do any more. It does sound like Val is susceptible to pushing herself too hard if in the right or the wrong hands, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. You want that client like Tilly had
at
the beginning here, where she's like, why are you emailing me? You've just had a baby.
And those people exist. You can find them. And getting rid of this is the first step. But I don't know, are there things you can do to rebuild that confidence beyond us telling you you're bloody good? I mean, I'm sure there are, but I'm not. Big surprise, I'm not qualified in confidence coaching.
Well, I think one way to rebuild your confidence is to talk to those who are close to you, who know you, and can say you're bloody ace, right? Because often our friends see more of those positive traits than we even see in ourselves. So sometimes it's worth having those conversations, not just anonymously with a podcast, but with people in the pub who will go, no way, you are this person. Then it's a case of maybe reflecting not just on this client, but other people you've worked with. It's going back to that folder that we've spoken about before, which is full of good testimonials or nice emails and nice comments, which go, oh yeah, actually people do like what I do. Screw you. And then ultimately getting that next client, that next relationship, maybe taking a bit more sort of ownership and control of it not letting that happen again. But I almost feel like you'd be so unlucky to let that happen again. This person shouldn't be treating you that way. They just shouldn't.
Where are the other tests I want to do?
They're in their bathroom.
Sorry, COVID admin. Also, I think you need to take a breath and a break from work after this, if you can.
I was going to say, you see, if it was if we were talking about, you know, romantic relationships, we'd say that, right? Take a little bit of time to be by yourself. Be you. Be your own best lover and all of that. But, you know, that doesn't pay the bills.
No, but I don't mean like a month. I mean literally like today, right? Instead of sitting at your desk for 2 hours and maybe mindlessly staring at your inbox and not doing all that much, go and like make a nice sandwich or play the piano or go for a run, whatever. Spend an hour doing something else. Ultimately, you are more than your job. And this is just one element of your life. And I feel like this is... God. Wank alarm. Wee, wee, wee. But, like, I think stepping back is a good move, if only briefly, because it's so easy to just plow on with the next bloody thing and not really process how you feel about what's happened. And actually, when you go and have a run or play the piano or make a sandwich, even if you're not thinking about it consciously, you are processing it. Is it a common thing, Val? Yes, it is. Are you alone in feeling this way? No, you are not. We've all got scars from clients. I was literally talking about that this morning because, newsflash, for the first time ever, I'm actually getting a contract together for my graphic design business that my clients are going to sign. And I was going through those scars I've got from previous clients. There's two or three things over the last 8 years that have really stayed with me. We've all got those moments, and this feels like it's one of those for you. And you'll learn from this, and you will make sure you avoid it, whether that's in a contract or just in what you do and the boundaries you set. You'll have the confidence to do that next time around that you didn't have on this job.
And in the meantime, Val, enjoy that chocolate fudge cake. Right, I'm going to get Spotify open and find Kelly Clarkson. One moment. Yes. Oh my God, I mean, she does what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I mean, that can be more apt, right?
Yeah, maybe we should make a doing it for the kids, getting over a client breakup playlist.
Okay, right. Two things we need from you. One is that obviously we need your comments, your advice for Val. Team Prep Talk, please. We would love to read it out next time around. Also, what are your songs for the I've Been Dumped by a Client playlist?
I cannot wait.
Obviously, we need your questions as well. You can fill in the form at doingitforthekids.net or drop Frankie a DM, be it on Twitter or Instagram. Go find her, go follow her, make sure you get involved. And if you want the Doing It For The Kids newsletter, and you really should, it's the stuff from inside Frankie's head. Make sure you support what she does with Doing It For The Kids on Ko-fi. Go to doingitforthekids.net/coffee.
And you've got like tons of being freelance stuff.
So much stuff! So the mastermind, but isn't a mastermind, but I call the Cookie Collective, is back. If you fancy joining that, let me know. Also, the course, I've been meeting people who took the course. That has been so cool. The podcast itself continues, and this weekend is Suze Bird, who is in the Doing It For The Kids community as well as being freelance. And yeah, it's her story, how she went freelance when she sort of separated from her child's dad, as well as being made redundant at the same time. But look at what unfurled. We talk about that.
That sounds good.
Well, lovely to see you. I hope you don't actually have COVID and just enjoy a bit more time being skanky in that room by yourself.
I might change my clothes tonight. We'll see.
Bit of a treat.
Friday. Woo!
What else would you put on the breakup playlist? I hate you so much right yes. now. I hate you so much right now.
Ah! Yeah, that's a classic.
Super furry animals. You know they don't give a fuck about anybody else. Love that song.
Isn't there a song that's literally called Fuck You? Oh, fuck you. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. CeeLo Green.
There we go. Alanis Morissette. I'm sure there's an Alanis Morissette song about... Oh, what is it?
You ought to know, because I'm here to remind you of the invoices that you didn't pay.
Such a good song.